this is Penn Jillette in New York City. And Michael Godeau is back in Vegas. How are you doing, Godeau? Yeah, can we get a little more level on Michael Godeau there so I can hear him a little better? Good. Try again, Michael Godeau.
How you doing, man?
We're just doing the test. Today is essentially a test for Wednesday and Thursday, which will be perfect shows. And I'm actually in the room with Rudy, which is a brand new experience.
What does he look like?
He's a regular guy, kind of a Van Dyke ponytail, mm-hmm. wearing kind of a golf type shirt. Kind of a regular guy, kind of like cool. About the level of doughy that you are, I would say.
All right.
I would say that you and he match dough. It's very comfortable looking at him instead of you. As a matter of fact, I think that for Halloween he may be dressed exactly like Michael Godeau. So it's very, and actually most we have an audience here, and most of the audience is dressed essentially like Michael Godeau. One woman went to the trouble of putting on a top hat. The rest of the guys are just dressed. Oh yeah, and then someone else is kind of a Marilyn Monroe outfit. Sure. But then the other guys are just with a monkey. There's a monkey puppet. And Tony, was that the guy's name who did the puppet? Paul. I was so close. Paul. Paul did this beautiful, you know those pumpkins that they carve that look that not like holes in it, but it's like this kind of super relief.
Cruise ship pumpkins.
Those called cruise ship pumpkins?
Yeah, that's what I call
them. Well, he's got it's a great one of King Kong, and we're in the great original Howard Stern. What's in the news, Robin? Studio. And I'm looking over to where Robin Quivers would normally be. Who's in there?
That's Matt.
That's Matt. Matt's in the Robin Quivers position. And she is, he is just going to be taking calls. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Did you see the view, Godeau?
I just saw it. It's spectacular. Man, your daughter's going to kick you out of show business.
Yeah. And after we finish the spot, for those of you who didn't see the view, and I imagine the overlap of people listening to the Penn Jillette show and watch the view is probably five people. But on the view, the guests were Courtney Love, Penn and Teller, and my daughter and my son. And after the show, Joy Behar took me aside after the show and said, "Your daughter was perfect. She was beautiful. They did a great job. Don't ever let her do anything in show business again. Don't get her on drugs and her life destroyed by the time she's 10. All of a sudden, you know, they're saying, well, this is Drew Barrymore that Penn's turning his daughter into. But we went on, and I'm thinking, if you're producing a live television program like The View, and in the same day you book a 17-month-old child and Courtney Love, how much goddamn chaos do you want in your studio? It's just like Courtney Love showed up, I think, 5 minutes before going on air.
You know, animals and babies.
that's what we had. And they're all dressed in those, and they're all got their makeup on, and we were. It's amazing. It's just nutty. And now
you kissed Rosie O'Donnell.
Did I?
You kissed Rosie O'Donnell.
It's amazing the stuff you'll do when you're in show business. Yeah, I was very happy because, see, you know, I have a history with both Kathy Lee Griffin. Gifford. I was so close. Gifford. With both Kathy, very big stars. Both Kathy Lee Gifford and Rosie O'Donnell.
And Kathy Griffin.
I've had problems with in the past, you know, because Kathy Lee Griffin, I don't think she remembers me saying this to her, but right after the OJ thing, I said to Kathy Lee Gifford.
Gifford.
You know, if a football player had to kill his wife, why? You know, and I said that, and I thought she'd find it funny, and she kind of sort of didn't. But
really?
Today, with all the makeup, and when you've got babies, I mean, babies are the greatest thing in the world to protect you from showbiz hell. I mean, these women essentially hate me, right? But once I have my daughter there, it's like a human shield. I feel like I'm hugging Sean Penn in Baghdad. It's just, do we have Regis on?
We do.
Oh, yeah, let's take Regis. We got Regis on the line.
Well, how is that possible?
Hello, Regis.
Hi, Penn.
This is exciting. You are now on my show.
I can't believe it. I am thrilled to death. And what to go from OJ to Sean Penn in Baghdad. You got the right guy here?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely the right guy here. Yeah, I was just talking, you know, your old partner, Kathy Lee, was on The View this morning. We brought my 17-month-old daughter on to do a card trick.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think that Kathy Lee ever particularly liked me, but once you have babies with you,
yeah,
automatically.
You're absolutely right. You know, everybody loves a baby, and if you want to have a shield, like you say, or win friends and influence people, that's the way to do it. Just walk in with your baby in your arms.
And you have Madonna on your show this week, right?
Just finished with Madonna a few minutes ago.
And how'd that go?
It went very well. Madonna came in. She wants to know if I'd like to be David's godfather.
Did she really?
I said, sure, I'd love it. The kid's got magical, you know, those eyes on that little baby.
Oh, that's
speaking
beautiful.
Of babies, you know, I think he's a magical kid.
Did you just lob her softballs? Was it a hard-hitting
well,
Regis
I tried
interview?
To, but then Kelly said, what about me, Madonna? I want to be you. And the interview was destroyed.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Regis. Thanks a lot, man.
So, Pat, tell me about your radio show. Are you happy in radio?
I'm very happy. You did radio for years.
Yes. Well, I did it. You know what, Pat? I've only done it 1 year out in Hollywood in KABC, you know, the mm-hmm. ABC
sure.
station out there. And I just did it on Sunday afternoons, and I was trapped. This is during the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
I was trapped between...
Are you trying to claim you were a prisoner of war?
No. But, you know, all of the people who wanted to talk about the war were calling in right after, what's his name, the man from Uncle signed off, Bob Vaughn.
Uh-huh.
He was very controversial on the radio. And then I was followed by religion on the line. So I had all the religious fanatics calling in at the end of my show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trapped in the middle of the war and religion. Regis was just trying to have a few laughs.
So you were all ready for the 21st century, weren't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I was way ahead of everybody. But the radio is fun. It really is, but you can't do any magic then.
Oh, yes, you can, and it's so much easier. It's like doing ventriloquism. So much simpler.
Maybe it is. You're probably right. So what else are you talking about today? Today is Halloween.
Today is Halloween, and Gilbert Gottfried. You love Gilbert,
oh,
don't you?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Can you bring Gilbert in? Because he should be talking to Regis, too.
Absolutely.
Gilbert's hiding in the hall out there.
No, bring him in.
Because we had Carnegie Deli send us over corned beef.
So, there's
Gilbert Gottfried coming in.
Oh, I love Gilbert.
Regis is on the phone, Gilbert. It's Regis. Talk to Regis.
House. There's like about three people here.
You know, Pendy, you were talking about Kathy Lee, and years ago Kathy Lee was my co-host, of course,
mm-hmm.
and she went one night to see Gilbert Gottfried in one of these New York comedy clubs, you know,
uh-huh.
and she got such a laugh out of this one line that he would say over and over again.
Huh, Gilbert saying something over and over again?
But why can't, this is the line, Pen, but why can't Ben Gazzara have a sitcom?
Well, she,
you know, the more you think about it, the funnier it is.
And she was stealing his material and doing
it. She loved it. Yeah, she loved that line.
I don't know who's less funny repeating that line, you or Kathy.
So you comics are getting together now, huh?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
But what he's going through, what is he going to be tonight at Halloween?
What are you dressing up as?
How about himself? That would really just...
Yes, I thought I'd be a short, irritating Jew.
Irritating Jew, that sounds pretty good.
But see, the costumes, I didn't reserve it in time.
Everybody's going out as either a small, irritating Jew or Steve Irwin with a stingray in their chest. Those are the only two choices that people are going out as today.
That's funny. So, Pat, what else?
What else?
What else you got on your show besides, what's his name?
See, that's the thing. You get Madonna, I get Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
If you want to know the levels of show business we're at.
Well, there you got to work up to Madonna, Pat. You know what I mean?
I know. There's a long way to go.
Tomorrow he gets Tom Hanks.
Who do you have?
And you have Gallagher's brother.
Gallagher's brother. The one who did make it. So did Gilbert like his corned beef sandwich from the deli?
Very good. You know, that's what I originally got paid on the Aristocrats.
Yes, on the Aristocrats, he got a corned beef sandwich.
Yes.
And today, Pet is throwing you a sandwich, and then you perform, and then you're gone.
See, it works as a residual payment.
he gets corned beef the rest of it. What'd you pay Madonna to be on your show?
You know what? I don't know if Gilbert pays them anything.
Not a thing, right?
Well, you've done our show, you know. There's no money involved with us.
Yeah, it's Jack. That's what you get. You get Jack. Absolutely. So who else you got coming up?
Well, let's see. Who else do we have coming up? Yeah, Madonna's going to make that appearance on Friday, of course, because we taped her. And, well, let's see. Tomorrow, Kelly will be here. And let's see. Denzel Washington will be here on Thursday. Jerry Springer's on
tomorrow. My goodness, quite a dancer.
And,
So you're getting Denzel Washington, and Penn gets that black guy from Police Academy.
He's got to work his way up.
Yes, who does the car horn sounds.
Hey, listen, guys, next week Regis is on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Okay, good. We'll watch.
And my opponents are Nancy Grace, you know that tough lady on CNN?
Uh-huh. Oh,
she a lesbian?
And let's see, Nancy Grace and Carson Kressley, you know the gay guy from the gay guy with the evil eye, whatever it is?
What do you mean? You mean
that's what I'm going to be masquerading on Halloween as the gay guy with the evil eye.
The gay guy with the evil eye.
And I'm competing against those two for the big jackpot money.
If you don't win, hang your head in shame forever.
No, they're pretty smart.
Yeah, well, I would bone up on jockeys of the 19th century. Be ready for anything. Be ready for anything.
But Godfrey came from.
Thank you so much for calling, Regis.
All right, then. Take care.
Thanks so much. Regis calls. That's pretty good.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. And now we're stuck with Gilbert. You're so far away. You know, yes. The Stern studio is so huge. How many times did you do Stern in this very studio?
Oh, my God. Billions of times.
Billions of times.
And now look where I am.
How the mighty have fallen. Yes. How the mighty have fallen. Well, I think if it's Halloween and it's in the Stern studio, you have to be doing Bela Lugosi.
Oh, that's right.
Go ahead, do some. It's Halloween. It's Halloween. Or do the parrot from Aladdin. Do one of those.
That's a tougher one to do. Yes. Hi, I'm the parrot.
That's the parrot. It's actually, we have six people here. Seven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And they're all dressed
up. I was downplaying it.
Yeah, you were using that New England understatement.
Yes, it's a mob scene.
Did you put mayonnaise on your corned beef sandwich?
Yes, I did. To lower the juice. Factor.
We went to Carnegie Deli together, Gilbert and I, because I was paying.
Yes.
And I am from, for those of you who don't know, I am a Gentile and a proud one. And I am from Western Massachusetts. Yes. And I am as Goyim as you are Jew. And in our town of Greenfield, Massachusetts, we had two Jewish families. And the son and the daughter of these two Jewish families had a dance with each other at dances. You know, we wanted nothing to do. And all I remember is the Jew's name, and we just called him the Jew. But his name was Brad Meyerson and Gene Borofsky.
Yeah.
And the Meyersons and the Borofskys owned everything in Greenfield. They owned the Howard Johnsons. And what could be more insulting than a goddamn Jew owning the Howard Johnsons? And they owned the Howard Johnsons. They owned Borofsky's Cleaners. And all the little goy kids would play on, you know, softball leagues that all said, like, Borofsky and Meyerson across their back. And Brad Meyerson was the only kid in our school who had braces. I mean, on his legs, not his teeth. He had braces on his teeth, and he'd always eat egg salad for lunch.
Oh.
So I was so prepared when I met you for what a Jew was. So we're at Carnegie Deli. And we order two corned beef sandwiches at Carnegie Deli, and Sandy, who owns Carnegie Deli, comes running in, screaming at me, "Listen, Penn, I will not accept your kind of goyim jive. You do not order mayonnaise on your corned beef sandwich. Corned beef sandwich." And he's about to throw my ass out, and I go, "No, no, I had it with mustard. Gilbert had it with mayonnaise." And you looked at him and said, "I'm from Brooklyn. I'll eat my corned beef sandwich the goddamn way I want." Or maybe there was actually some obscenity in there. But that's okay. You know, that's the thing. It's the thing about the African-American people and the Jews. They can say anything to each other, but we are allowed to say nothing to anyone. You know, the worst thing I can say to anyone is white trash, you know, because I'm from the trailer park in Greenfield, Massachusetts. But okay, Gilbert, so it's Halloween.
Yes.
And it's Monkey Tuesday. And we... Very nicely done. Very good. Very good. He did the Monkey Tuesday theme. See that?
Oh, very good.
I said
good.
It again. I said it again.
And you know, he plays it. That's nice.
Yeah, he has a little keyboard right
yes.
there. For us. Gilbert, do you have, since it is Monkey Tuesday, do you have any monkey stories?
Let's see. I did do a movie with a monkey once that surprisingly was never released.
Not released at all?
Yeah.
It didn't even go to video?
It may have made it to video.
What was it called?
It was called... Oh, okay. It had a bunch of names. When I was doing...
Oh, I just broke the whole... Talk, Gilbert, talk. I broke the goddamn studio. Okay, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Go ahead.
It was an
interesting story. I ripped the mic stand out of this. This whole place has stardust all over it, you know? It just has... There's a patina of Stern in this room. You can kind of still see the mic is encrusted with his spit. Go ahead. I said encrusted, not encrusted.
Okay.
You were in a movie with a monkey...
And Matthew Modine. And I think the girl from Touched by an Angel.
No, but, yeah. Improper touch by an angel.
Yes,
improperly
exactly.
touched by an angel. Bad touch
so,
by an
I
angel.
What I was doing, it was called Spy Chimp. And then it was changed when, after it was finished, it was changed to Hairy Tales.
Oh, dear.
And then I think the final title for it was Funky Monkey.
Okay. Now, who played the Jew? You were the monkey. Because, you know, when you put Payas on a chip, there's just nothing cuter and funnier than Payas on a chip. You were the Shabbos Goy, right? What is that called? What is it called? The Shabbos Goy?
The Shabbos Goy.
Shabbos? See, yeah. I know stuff. I know stuff. So you were turning on and off lights for a monkey?
Yes.
What was the plot, he asked,
well,
not caring at all?
This was the second version of the film.
Boy, I could not care less about this goddamn movie. I'm interviewing him about what Ghost Chimp MD. He's a monkey, and he's dead, and he's a doctor. Go ahead.
Originally, they were shooting it in France. And
because they thought
apart.
There was a chance
yes.
that someone would think it was funny then.
Yes.
Well, they like Jerry Lewis. Yes. Let's try Gilbert Gottfried on him.
I didn't get to the French production. This was a second. I guess I thought it was such a good idea.
You were second unit.
Yeah, the French production fell apart because they had a drunken French midget in a monkey suit.
Now you're talking.
And he was bitter.
I am so sexually excited now. Because, you know, it's very specific what turns me on, and you happen to hit it dead on. Just dead on.
Drunken French midgets in monkey suit.
Who's very bitter.
Yes.
Very bitter, because he shouldn't have.
And surprisingly.
And zircon-encrusted tweezers. Because I'm going to the Zappa show tonight. You know, thriller. Go ahead. Good. So if you just tuned in. Regis had on Madonna talking about you can't even say African-American, you have to say adopting an African. But Gilbert, because we have the Motor Report show, Gilbert's talking about a movie he did that never came out, where he was playing the part of a Jew.
Yes.
Second banana, so to speak, to a monkey.
Yeah, second banana to a French midget, not monkey. Super.
Well, was he even a monkey?
No, well, they got rid of the French midget, actually.
Is there an ointment that does that? Is it an ointment you just rub on your thighs and the French midget goes away?
That and some Epsom salt. And generally a French midget will go away.
And so you had a real monkey?
Yes. They actually hired a real monkey.
And they were shooting in New York?
No, this was in L.A.
Oh, sure. Why would? And so Matthew Modine, Gilbert Gottfried,
and
a monkey, and the woman from
Touched by an Angel.
Bad Touch by an
yes.
Angel. And what was your part?
I played a mad scientist. Jew, yes. Well, I said scientist, so.
Yes. You played a money-grubbing scientist.
Yes.
With a big honking nose.
And out of nowhere, the scientist kills Christ. Which...
Sure. That's
which I thought, I didn't see what that had to do with the plot of the movie.
You know, in Mel Gibson's drunken rambling, he threw in that thing about the Jew scientist killing Christ while a drunken Frenchman in a monkey suit. Midget yeah, Frenchman.
He says the Jews are responsible for all wars. And did you see that movie with Gilbert?
Man, do they suck. So you went on. So you were there. And what was the plot?
That's what I'm still trying to figure
okay.
out.
Well, to those who want to pick it up, if you want to write in, if anyone has seen Gilbert Gottfried's movie, Harry Palms, what was it called?
No, that's my autobiography.
866-313-FREE, 3733, penradio@gmail.com. If you have seen Gilbert Gottfried's movie, what are the three names?
Okay, it was either Spy Chimp, Hairy Tails, or Funky Monkey.
Okay, Spy Chimp, Hairy Tails, or Funky Monkey, here on this Monkey Tuesday from New York City with Gilbert Gottfried on Halloween. 866-313-FREE, 3733. We'll be back sometime.
Free FM. If you take part in a contest on WCKG, here's a couple of helpful rules to keep in mind. WCKG contests are open to all listeners in the station broadcast area in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan who are 18 years of age or older, unless otherwise stated. By participating in a contest, the winner or winners agree to have their name, voice, or likeness used in any advertising or broadcast materials relating to the contest without any financial or other compensation, and sign a publicity release prior to the acceptance of the prize. Participants agree to hold WCKG, its corporate licensee, Infinity Broadcasting Corporation, harmless against any and all claims or liability arising directly or indirectly from the prize of participation in the contest. WCKG reserves the right to cancel or modify the contest if not capable of completion as planned or technical failures of any sort. Failure to comply with the contest rule may result in the contestant's disqualification at the sole discretion of WCKG. Copies of written contest rules are available during regular business hours at the main studio of WCKG FM, 2 Prudential Plaza, Suite 1059, Chicago 60601, or WCKG.com. Just play by those simple rules and nobody gets hurt. Good luck winning stuff on 105.9
WCKG. Funky Monkey.
Ah!
It was written by Lance Kinsey, who did the story. Peter Nelson, who did the story. It was written by a lot of different people. And the tagline was, he's one high-tech super chimp.
Huh? How could a movie like that be bad?
Plot outline, boy genius Michael Dean Adkins teams up with a super talented chimpanzee and his caretaker, Modine, to take down an animal testing lab. In exchange, the scientist gives the boy some pointers on the girl of his dreams. User comments, may God have mercy on their soul. That's the only thing the person said. May God have mercy on their souls. Matthew Modine, Roma Downey,
yes.
Seth Adkins, Alexandria Aubrey, Jean-Luc Orofino,
he might
Pat Finn, Taylor Negron.
Oh, yes.
Liliana Komorowska, Kaylee Krish, and then Gilbert Cochran. So not only are you in this god-awful piece of crap movie, but also your 10th billing. I thought you were at least elite. I was back this years ago, and you'll know how many years when I tell this story, with Bobcat Goldthwait. And we had the weirdest conversation I've ever had with anybody. Bobcat said, I said, what you been up to, Bobcat? And he said, I just finished this talking horse movie. And I said, oh, what was it about? And he said, it was a talking horse movie. I said, yeah, but what was it about? And what I thought was, because Bobcat had been in Police Academy and those things, I thought he was real show business, and I was like carny trash. So I thought talking horse movie was real insider slang, for I was in a lousy high-concept movie.
Yes.
And I said, well, so he's in a talking horse. I went, oh, yeah, talking horse movie. So I'm trying to pretend I understand the slang.
So you mean like a foreign-made film?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking horse movie.
A talking horse movie. And he goes, no, it was a talking horse. horse movie. And so he thought I was making him say that over and over again in order to humiliate him. And I thought he was using slang that I didn't understand in order to humiliate me. So we're backstage, both of us feeling humiliated, and neither one of us really being the humiliator.
But okay, you want to know the worst part of that story?
Yeah.
I'm in that talking
horse. No, which talking horse movie?
The movie was called Hot to Trot.
Yeah.
And I'm in it.
But, I mean, what do you mean it's a talking horse movie?
It's as in Mr. Ed, talking horse movie.
That was one directed by Michael Dinner. This is the tagline. When I talk, you're going to laugh yourself hoarse. Fred P. Chaney?
Oh, yes.
Receives as inheritance, after the death of his mother, a speaking horse that also has a good knowledge about the stock market. Okay? Now, user comments.
Can it get any better? Yes.
User comment. No, 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 no. That's the only user comment there. Bobcat Goldthwait plays Fred P. Chaney. Dabney Coleman. John Candy. He was the voice of the horse.
Yes.
Virginia Madsen. Cindy Pickett. Jim Meltzer. Tim Kazurinsky. Santos Morales, Barbara Winery, Gary Kluger, Mary Ross, Liz Torres, Jacko Marcinello, Dina Oliver, Henry Caesar, more. Okay, a little more. Where are we down to? Henry Caesar, Alan Williams, Lonnie Price, Chino Fats Williams, Angel Salazar, Henry Hank Levy, John Lipson Wood, Jack Whitaker, Tom Wolski, Kevin Furlong, Edmund Stolber, Frank Maurice, Gilbert Gottfried! So you're 40th billing,
yes,
in the goddamn talking horse movie. What's the highest billing you've got? If I do Gilbert Gottfried, what's the highest billing you get here, Gilbert?
Probably Hot to Trot. Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried, meaning, of course, fried god, which we all have.
Which I'll be serving after the show to the audience.
Tonight's show.
Fried god sandwiches.
Oh, Tonight's Show with Jay Leno, episode October 5th. Uncredited, various characters. That was a big one. Grim and Evil, Kingdom Hearts 2, Billy and Mandy Save Christmas, Camp Lazlo. Oh, you were in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events? Or you just voice uncredited?
For about a quarter of a second as the Aflac Duck.
Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, and then, this is the only one that's a different color because it's already been linked, Funky Monkey.
Yes.
The Amazing Floydini, where you played Strange Man. Becker, Crank Yankers, of course. Mickey Philhar Magic. CSI, of course, I saw you in that. Fairly Odd Parents. Mickey's House of Villains. House of Mouse. Son of a Beach. Oh, that's where you played the
Rabbi. I was the rabbi who turns into Dracula on Son of the Beach.
We had someone call in, you know, and ask directly if you would please. They're begging you to do your Dracula impersonation.
I only do that for Howard. I wouldn't.
And then you Comedy Central Presents, Gilbert. We haven't gotten to one goddamn movie I've heard of. Long Shot. Goosed. Goosed? What the hell is Goosed?
Okay.
Hercules? What the hell were you in Hercules? There's no Jews in Hercules. Jesus, they don't put Hercules. The Tom Show. Aladdin. That's your biggest thing.
Yes.
Yeah, your biggest thing. The Weird Al Show, Al Gets Robbed. You were played Al's imaginary friend, Gilbert.
Well, he gets robbed, meaning I'm his Jew accountant.
This is amazing. I have really never seen a more just dismal, depressing resume than this. I mean, Scott Baio goes to this, goes to this resume and pleasures himself doing. Whenever he's feeling depressed, he just goes, "Well, I could have been doing, you know, Aladdin on Ice, The Voice. Yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Twisted Adventures of Felix the Cat? Oh, Problem Child."
Yes.
And are you, you're in Problem Child 1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
Silk Stockings, The Mud Queen Murders. You played Joey Melman in that.
Yes, that was me.
Tell us about Silk Stockings, The Mud Queen Murders.
Well, let's see. It had that actor in it.
Do you remember anything about that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It had that actor who played Peterson years and years later on Seinfeld. Yes.
Do you remember anything? You were in Double Dragon, the movie?
Yeah. I never made it to the final cut of the picture. It actually was released for about like a day. It was like Alyssa Milano and... You got me. Who
this,
else was
this,
in it?
This is a good game, this quiz.
Yes.
See if you can remember your own goddamn life. Tell us tell us about Norman's Corner.
Norman's Corner. Oh, that was that. I starred in Norman's Corner.
Yeah, you played Norman.
Yes.
Yeah. That was, this is about 20 years ago. And what was Norman's Corner? Was that your idea?
No.
This is the equivalent of your Drew Carey show, your Seinfeld. This is
exactly
what this is gonna just gonna put you up into the
stratosphere. And the funny thing, the connection with Seinfeld is that
Jew.
Larry David.
He's also a Christ killer.
Yes, Larry David.
Jew.
Yes, yeah. Was the writer of Norman's Corner.
Really, really.
So
he saved all this good stuff.
Yes, it's like years later I heard when they were having a meeting at NBC for Seinfeld, and Seinfeld said, well, I'm going to have Larry David write it. Mm-hmm. And they said, didn't he write that piece of expletive deleted for Gilbert Gottfried one time? So I almost, my show was so bad, it almost stopped Seinfeld from going on the air.
This is a quote from you.
Yes.
This is a quote from you. I'm just going to give you the first two words of the quote. See if you remember your lines from, Norman's Corner,
okay,
from 20 years ago. Okay, this is just a this is a quote from Norman. Meatloaf, I don't like it.
Oh, it's like a hamburger that got into a bad car accident, something like that.
Jesus Christ! Exactly.
Huh? Do I get a T-shirt out of this?
Something. You're gonna have some more corned beef. You remember your?
I remembered that line.
And what was Larry David like to work with? Back before he was talented. And then, of course, that the years of Saturday Night Live, considered by many to be
the worst years ever. Yes, the absolute worst of all time.
And you played a paramedic in what, 1984?
Wow, that was the first film I was ever in.
Uh-huh.
Never was released. Starred Joe Piscopo, Howard Rollins Jr., Sandra Bernhardt.
Jesus Christ.
I think Charles Fleischer. And yeah, that was called House of God.
Exactly right.
Yes.
You actually know what you've done in your lousy career.
See, I'm ready to go on live at the Actors Studio.
The tagline.
Now then, you did Funky Monkey.
The tagline is, every year in July, 6,000 young men and women leave the comfort and safety of medical school, confident in the knowledge they will become interns in the greatest system of medical care in the history of the universe. Some actually survive.
See, now,
who was the guy in the 80s that people thought was you? What was his name?
Oh, Curtis Armstrong.
Yeah, Curtis Armstrong.
Yes, from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, I thought he was you.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember Curtis Armstrong? Yeah, what'd you just say? You just said Curtis Armstrong, yeah. He was born in 1953. He's a little older than you, in Detroit, Michigan. And he has movies.
Not a Jew.
Well, he's in Aquila and the Bee.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually had a career.
Yes.
Yeah, this is... How many of his lines? He was in Dodgeball. He's been in real movies. This is like a guy who actually acts. Yeah. See, That's why I thought he was you, because
yes.
When I first met you, I thought you were better than
yes.
you are. That's what confused me so much.
What separates him from me is he actually belongs to Screen Actors Guild.
We'll be back with Curtis Armstrong after this. This is the Monkey Tuesday.
And buy my DVD, Gilbert Gottfried's Dirty Jokes, on GilbertGottfried.com.
I'm going to pimp the living hell out of that the next hunk. Jesus Christ. We've been on the air. We've done New York City. Michael Goodell is still in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
We're having fun here. We're having fun here, Goodell.
Yeah, well.
And we've got Gilbert here with us. And Gilbert, we got an email in that I want you to comment on. It says, Gilbert was a genius. There you go.
Ah.
Not bad. You notice the past tense.
At destroying his career.
Was a genius as the host of Up All Night, a late night crappy movie show on some horrible cable channel. Unfortunately, he replaced a blonde with huge boobs, who was my main reason for watching the show at age 15. Anything you have to say about Up All Night?
Okay, the blonde with the huge boobs was Rhonda Shear, who now is on the Home Shopping Network advertising clothes for fat people.
Really?
Yeah.
Is she fat?
I don't know. I haven't seen her recently. It's like clothes for, like, fat women.
I tried very hard to have sex with her at a comedy festival in Aspen or something. I was up all night. Up all night!
Yes, up all night. I like the way you slipped that in.
Yeah. Talking to Rhonda Shear, right?
Yes.
But it never went anywhere. Never went anywhere. So, no matter how, just in case you're listening here, no matter how repulsive you think Rhonda Shear is, less repulsive than me. There's the pecking order, yes. as it were. Now, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
People think you're the funniest man alive, most talented man alive, and if they wanted to hear you tell dirty jokes, where would they go, Gilbert? I'm going to pimp the living hell out of this.
Okay.
Where'd they go?
They could go to get my DVD or CD, Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes, on GilbertGottfried.com.
Now, no one outside of New York City can spell Gottfried.
No.
So why don't you spell that?
G-O-T-T.
He has it written down. He's reading it off a piece of paper.
It's Gott, as in the German God, G-O-T-T, fried.
Yeah, fried God, which we talked about, because your people invented God on the stick.
Yes.
That was part of the Christ killing. We have you take a carpenter from Nazareth, you tack him onto a stick, and you dip him in beer batter, roll him in beer batter, and then fry him, and then usually there's a hot fudge or a Snickers bar somewhere involved in it.
And as a little snack food, we have the Juicy Jesus.
Yes. Well, you know, we went to the Minnesota State Fair, and they really do have every food in the world on a stick. They have spaghetti and meatballs on a stick. So GilbertGottfried.com. GilbertGottfried.com. The
G-O-T-T.
GilbertGottfried.com. Is that enough? Is Dara happy?
And buy Gilbert Gottfried Dirty Jokes.
Dirty jokes. Is that selling like that?
The perfect Christmas gift.
That's like number three on Amazon now, isn't it?
I think so. The first one is Funky Monkey.
Yeah. Number two is Norman's Corner.
Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried's... What do you believe is your best? If someone wanted to watch one, now we're not going to count you doing dirty jokes. We're talking about a narrative film, a film that is, you know, not a concert film, a narrative film.
So someone was dying of cancer and they had to see a Gilbert Gottfried film.
Well, let's say they're captured by Al Qaeda and the Geneva Conventions have been thrown out the window, and they've been waterboarding this GI for like 40 days. Right? And he finally comes up and they say, we have one last thing to maybe break you. You need to watch one Gilbert Gottfried narrative.
Because the electrodes in the testicles haven't been working.
No, because we've moved the generator up to full. We've got 220. We unplugged. Still didn't crack. What is the narrative film they would want to mention so they'd be the least apt to crack? You had to sit through one Gilbert Gottfried film.
Oh, that's a tough... Well...
Do you notice while I was talking about that, I was kind of grabbing myself like a rap star?
Most people...
Could you get an angle on that? It was kind of subconscious. I was kind of going, oh, yeah, electrode there and electrode there. I'm touching myself. No,
I thought it's because you were talking about me. About me. It's funny.
Many guys do. Yeah. Many guys do. You know, you're the kind of guy that should do a lot of, you know, posters naked so that men feel good about themselves. You could be an inspiration to so many people. Just going, you know, I thought I was a badly hung, unpleasant looking person.
Yes.
Let's do an AB here. I'm a pretty studly guy. I'm a fine looking slice of Southern California beefcake. So what would they want to see there, Gilbert? That one. I'm still touching myself, but now it's over the woman with the hat.
Well, let's see. There was my one scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Two. Yes. You're not in the original Beverly Hills.
Not the original, no.
No. And what are you playing
at? I lost out to Bronson Pinchot. Yes.
Curtis Armstrong. What is your scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Okay. I play a financial manager.
Jew.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just in case financial manager doesn't wrap it up for you right there in a nice gift wrap basket, his name is Bernstein. Yes. So.
Just to make sure. And that you think your finest work in the narrative?
Yes.
And what's the next finest work?
Well, of course, there's Aladdin.
Okay, Aladdin. You're good in Aladdin. You know, because now I have children. Who, as I pointed out, I'm exploiting on television.
Yeah.
We had Kathy Lee Gifford on there, and we thought we'd open our own little sweatshop. So we had Moxie and Zoltan working there. I feel good about this because she made a sweatshop joke. Sweatshop joke.
Sweatshop joke. She did?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Oh, what'd she say?
She said, what did she say on the show? She said something about, I get to actually open, with some of her kids, I get to actually open my own sweatshop, she said.
Excellent.
And it was fine. And what's her name? Who was the other one? She also, was she the one dressed, Emily? Was she the one dressed as Catherine the Great? Who was dressed as Catherine the Great? Rosie. No, not Rosie. Who was the one with the horse? Because they were making... Kathy Lee Gifford was making all sorts of jokes about having sex with a horse.
That's excellent. Because, you know, Kathy Lee was one of those, you know, everyone always, you know, she's, Kathy Lee of all people's a Jew.
No, she's not.
Kathy Lee Epstein.
You're kidding me.
She's a Jew who, Jew for Jesus.
She's not a Jew for Jesus.
She's a Jew for Jesus.
She's not a Jew for Jesus.
She is a Jew for Jesus.
I wanted to get into that little kind of political commentary where two people go on the air and kind of argue relevant points. It's like the O'Reilly factor. She's not a Jew for Jesus.
She is a Jew for Jesus.
She's not a Jew for Jesus.
I say she is.
I say she's not.
I stand by my word.
And I say you are wrong, you sniveling Jew. She is not a Jew for Jesus.
I have met Jews. I've worked with Jews. And you, sir, are not a Jew.
I knew a Jew. She is. She's a Jew for Jesus?
Yes. Her name was Kathy Epstein.
Yeah.
And she accepted Christ.
Now, Rudy's nodding. Rudy's nodding like I'm going to look over.
Well, he fell asleep.
Oh,
like
Rudy agrees with you. He must be right.
Yeah. He is. I've heard that, yeah.
You've heard that, too?
Yes.
Godot?
I'm looking on it.
So, Godot.
And when she was a Jew, she produced Funky Monkey.
With Larry David. Larry David. So what do you got coming up, Gilbert? GilbertGottfried.com. What do you got coming up?
Just that Dirty Joke DVD, and then my career's over.
That's it?
Yes.
You're going to walk and hold right after that? Godot, you've got 1 minute. Would you say we're closing up in 1 minute?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1 minute, Godot, to tell us,
if Kathy Lee really is a Jew.
Kathy Lee is really a Jew.
She is?
Yep.
Jew for Jesus?
Jew for Jesus.
Does it say Jew for Jesus?
It says Jews for Jesus.
And Kathy Lee is one of them.
Which is, actually, it's got quotes next to it. It just says Christian.
Oh, it says Christian. And who else?
No, Jews for Jesus.
Who else is a Jew for Jesus?
Mel Gibstein.
He's not a Jew. Mel Kim Steve is a Jew for Jesus. Well, this is Halloween Monkey Tuesday, New York City, with my guest Gilbert Gottfried and Michael Goodeau, as always, finding out who's a Jew. He has a little list that he keeps of all the Jews. We can send you the yellow triangle when the time comes. Is it a triangle? I think it is. Star. We'll be back tomorrow, right here in New York City. Are we out now? Good.